We had reached that little inlet, and I just started feeling awful, like just dreadful. It felt like I wasn't really safe. It felt like there was something else that was much bigger, much more intimidating. I was shocked. There was a tree that had been turned upside down with the roots in the air.
This is the Cryptic Creatures Podcast. I am Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Ty. What's up, buddy?
Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening. Brian, how's it going tonight?
Fantastic, man. Excited for another great episode coming up.
Me too. I love talking to these people, man, just hearing these encounters.
Yep, me too.
Tonight, we're going to bring on Will and his buddy, Norman. They're going to talk about some crazy stuff that happened to them in Middle Tennessee. Yep. Not sure what they saw. Not sure what this could be, but we'll hear them out and see what they got to say.
Yeah, we'll see what they have to say.
Okay, let's bring them on.
Let's get them.
Hey, Will and Norman, thanks for coming on and talking to us, guys.
Oh, good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know it was short notice, but appreciate it.
You guys had contacted us, I think, email, and said that you had something going on, I guess, when you guys were younger. Is that right?
Yes.
And this happened in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Middle Tennessee, pretty centered.
Okay. Well, okay. One of you go ahead and start, and you guys can take turns telling what happened or your side of the story.
Well, around the summer between 7th and 8th grade, about 13 years old, 14, around that age, I was living in a trailer, kind of like, I guess in the country, it was pretty secluded from, it was a pretty rural area. But, I had invited Hunter here, over, and another friend of mine. And we were, just exploring these woods behind our house because that's what we liked to do when we were younger. We just like to get out there and just see what we can find, see what we can come across. And
all of us really grew up with, the ghost stories and monster stories and things like that, and TV shows, and looking it up, we always found that really interesting. So any time we got the chance, we would go out and do that ourselves, see if we could find anything, go places that were interesting that we've heard stories about. And around his home, Will's home here, he did have stories, so we got permission to go out onto the field and into the woods nearby his home from the property owner, and we kind of just started exploring that area.
So one day we were back there, we were in the woods that were directly behind my house. The edge of the forest was probably not even like 30 40 feet from the back of my house, but it was a pretty good stretch of woods. Couldn't say it was a long distance, but we were kind of towards the back, towards the opening of the field. We found this little area that had like junk and stuff. It looked like something was frequently like kind of moving through there, just displacing everything. We didn't really think much of it. We just thought it was just a junk pile. Well, I had remembered smelling a faintly odd smell. It wasn't strong, it wasn't pungent, but I could tell, there was some type of odor. As we were heading back to that the house after being down there for about an hour or two, this was probably 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
It was bright day, there was no dark areas around us. We were pretty much out in the open. Everything to our right was just open field, and to our left were just a few trees and bushes, nothing big or anything like that, so it was really well lit. We could see most everywhere around.
But out of nowhere, we hear this awful roar, kind of like it sounded like a lion, basically, tearing a cow apart. It sounded nothing like any animals that would be in that area, that would be in Middle Tennessee.
It was probably the scariest thing that I think I had heard, and still that I could say that I have heard, especially in person, in my entire life so far, by far. It was honestly terrifying. It was entirely terrifying at that moment, because we had never heard anything like that, the three of us that were there.
Yeah, we heard that. We bolted back to the house. Kind of just stay away from that area for a couple weeks. But eventually, we were sitting around thinking and just kind of wondering what's back there, because I live almost directly in front of where this happened. So I was just kind of worried about what could be in there, and we just kind of got the idea that we'd get a group of our friends and
everyone we could think to get us to come with us to join us.
We'd get them, and we'd go down there and just explore, just see what we can find, just try and find anything that can explain what we heard that day. We get about six or.
It was about eight of us in total, including us two. Our original plan was to try and do a pincer maneuver sort of thing, where three of us would go around one side and start at one side of the woods.
That was later.
It was about the same time. This was this night.
Yeah, but us over the course of the summer, we had went down there. Yeah. We had went down there for a few weeks just looking and seeing, just trying to find things. And we had come across some oddly weird stuff down there. I remember one day we were, we didn't have all of us there that day. It was about five of us, four or five. And we were going through the farther back of the woods, because how it was laid out was there. My house was, in one area, and then there was a giant field off to the left. And then there was like a little clearing that was farther down, separated by like an inlet of woods. And we had gone farther like past that, because usually we just kind of stuck in that little inlet, but we had gone deeper in past this thorn, like a big brush of thorns that was hard to get through. And when we got back there, and man, it was just crazy. We saw like four or five of these huts.
It looked like huts that were made out of like vines, because we've grown up in the South. We've went out in the woods and, traversed through really deep thickets and everything. But these vines didn't grow normally. They grew almost it looked like they were intertwined and kind of like rounded off to be domes or little like huts, like he said. And you could walk underneath them. They weren't massive in terms of height, like you would have to crouch down to get underneath them, but they still did grow in an extremely weird way. Like someone had intentionally twine them over in order to make these little dome-shaped huts.
And how many were there?
About four or five.
Yeah, four or five.
There. And one of them was really weird, because there was a tree, like a big, like the... I'm drawing a blank on the center part of the tree. The
trunk?
The trunk, yes. I don't know why I couldn't think of it.
I'll fix that, don't worry.
The trunk was leaned over into another tree, and at the top of it was one of those huts that was built up there. So Well, that was a really weird thing to see. We didn't understand what they were, why they were there. Later that day, a few of us had went back up to the house to get something to drink and eat, because we had been down there for a few hours. And two of us stayed down there. Two of my friends stayed down there, and they were on that trunk that was falling over to the other tree. They were just sitting up there. And while we were eating, they just come barging in out of nowhere and say that, like, they had seen something down there. They had seen what they said was a, like, white, furry creature just kind of, like, moving very slowly through the woods.
Yeah. Was it through the woods, like, not deep into the woods, but just on the edge of it to where you could see into something moving through there.
And, you know, us being 13-year-old kids who loves this stuff, we're more intrigued to keep going, like, you know, keep
going back there.
Going back in there, finding everything we can. We didn't find much other than that, like, anything as big as that area. We did find a fence that was kind of crushed at a certain point, and there was there was some hair that was caught on the fence. It was white, like white fur hair. And we thought it could have been a deer just jumping over the fence, but the hair was, like, kind of caught in the middle. So I feel like anything that was kind of like, if it was just going to hop over, it wouldn't get caught in that
center of
middle fence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something was kind of just either climbing over, dragged something, like, near it. Eventually, it all culminated in one night where we got eight of us.
Yeah. That's where we had tried to do our pincer maneuver idea, where he took a group, two of our friends, and I took a group, two of our friends. We went to, he started out behind his home towards the woods, and I started out on the other side of the fields and the other side of the woods, and we kind of just worked our way around to where we could meet in the middle, whilst we had two friends in the two different parts of the field to keep an eye out just in case anything moved around or they could catch something whilst we were trying to scare it out as much as middle schoolers could scare out.
Right.
Yeah, we were down there for a good hour and a half, just going through brushes and branches and stuff like that. And, you know, we were on the verge of kind of giving up because we hadn't really noticed anything and we hadn't really experienced much that night until we had reached that little inlet. We weren't in it, but it was around that area, and I just started feeling awful. I felt just dreadful. It felt like, you know, I wasn't really safe in that area. Felt like there was something else that was, you know, kind of, you know, much bigger, much more intimidating than three of us down there. While we were looking through, I did hear kind of like rustling and stuff off to the side until we came to this opening, and I was shocked. There was a tree had been turned upside down with the roots in the air and stuck in the ground. And I was terrified. I had read up on Bigfoot stuff by then because I was avid. I loved reading about that. And that was one of the things I read, was that they like to do that sometimes. They'll warn you to basically stay out of this territory.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was freaking out. My friends were awestruck. They didn't know what was happening. we take off through this thorn, like just really dense, like thicket of thorns, because I was just wanting to get out. There was an easier way to get out, much farther to go. If you went straight to the thorns, you were practically outside of the woods. So I ducked out of there. But as I was moving, the thing that I remember the most from that entire summer is seeing this. It's hard to describe, but it was like this. I don't know, kind of like a man face almost, but you know, morphed more animal like. In a sense, and it was about, I'd say, 8 feet off the ground, and I could see it in this little, like, brush about 20 feet in front of me, just staring as I was moving, like, trying to move through these thorns, and it was terrifying. I could see kind of, like, white fur, kind of, around the head area, the chest area, and the eyes were, I couldn't see the eyes very well because it was night outside, you know, it's hard to see kind of the facial, like, features, but no, I could tell it was there. It was, looking back, as soon as that happened, I pushed even harder through the thorns and got out.
Around this same time, my group of friends, we really hadn't run into anything ourselves. We, for the most part, we were just having fun jogging through the woods, you know, just tramping through, looking. But around this, I would say, probably the same time that he got an eerie feeling, like him and the rest of our friends, we also, the two friends that I was with, started to get nervous and freaked out. They didn't know why either, but they didn't feel comfortable. And I also started to get that feeling. It's probably the one time that I can remember that my fight or flight response was purely fight. And I wanted to get out of there, but I, for some reason personally, I just got very territorial at that time. So I trudged through and I brought my two friends that were with me through the rest of the woods, and about to that halfway point is whenever we heard him, Will, and our other two friends coming out and running out of the woods. And so we exited out with them, and that's when we ran into them. Luckily, we didn't see anything, but we felt like something was there. There was a presence, and it was obvious. And being in middle school, that was extremely scary at the time. It was not a comfortable feeling having eyes on you and being able to actually feel those eyes on you for whatever reason they were on.
Can you guys describe how big in diameter those huts or those structures you found were? You said you had to kind of duck down, but you could kind of stand up in them. So they were obviously, what, 6 feet tall, maybe?
About there.
How big in diameter do you think they were?
I want to say 12, 15 feet.
Yeah.
Around 12, yeah. And like, they weren't like, you know, humongous, but they were fairly big.
What were you guys thinking when you saw them? Did you think they were done by humans, or?
Personally, I thought that it had to be, it wasn't natural. It was obviously not natural because vines don't just grow in a dome shape for no reason.
Right.
So my own thought was that either somebody's out here or something has been through here enough to cause this to happen. So it's definitely not natural. Something made it. If not man-made, then something that was out there.
Did you guys notice any kind of debris or anything like that around these things, or any kind of, you know, articles of human nature?
It was barren. before that is whenever we had found all the junk and trash, like, that looked like someone who used to be out there a long time ago had left stuff. But after we passed that, there was basically nothing until those huts. And when we got there, it was in the trees, but it wasn't a normal look, because whenever you're walking through the woods, you can see light shining through. It's bright, and especially whenever it's midday, and it was midday when we were out there. But when we got towards these, it was like the trees had completely canopied the area, because even though it was midday, it was a bluish tint, almost like it was nighttime underneath those, which was extremely strange. I'm not sure if that was natural. It might have been, but it's definitely an eerie place to be, because it was, what would you say, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, it was very early in the afternoon.
Yeah, so it shouldn't have been that dark off in the woods, but it was. It was almost a blue filter over the entire area where those domes were. After we past those, we got to a fence and it was just bright field again. So I'm not sure what would have caused it to be that dark, but it was strange, to say the least. Not natural.
Let's talk about the tree. We've heard of that, the upside down tree thing with Alaska. We've seen documentaries on that in Alaska where they found these huge upside down trees that could not have been done by human. How big was this tree and how tall do you think it was?
It was a smaller tree. So it wasn't a huge one that'll like grow up. I say it's probably 11, 12 feet, which is like high up. But yeah. I mean, I could definitely see the roots in the air. Well, that's why I knew it was something. It was weird because the roots were in the air.
Right.
Yeah, that's weird.
Probably not something I
could get your.
Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Could you get your arms around it? Was a pretty good, good distance around.
Yeah, it was it's pretty thick. I mean, I could almost reach my arms all the way around. I they were almost touching.
Still a big tree.
It's still a big tree, yeah.
And a human's not going to do that. And why?
Yeah, none of us could do that.
Why would you?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to turn this tree upside down. For no reason. Yeah, obviously that's Bigfoot's way of saying, hey, get out of here. Stay away. Leave me alone. This is my territory. Don't cross this path. Whatever he's doing. It's kind of weird that you had an albino Bigfoot. We hear about them from time to time, but, you know, for those guys to stay hidden as much as they do, it's kind of crazy. But how far away was the huts from like your property or your house? Would you say?
I want to say about 2.5-3 miles back into the woods. They weren't like the woods do end at a certain point, but they were probably in the middle. It's like they don't go on for a long time, but they were in the deepest part of the tree farm.
So how far away from the face do you think you were, Will, when you saw it looking at you?
Probably 20 feet, I want to say. It was not far. It was not far at all. I could definitely see, you know, I could see the whole like outline of the head and the shoulders. And I had my flashlight shine over it really quickly. So, cause I was obviously when I saw it, I was even more freaked out than I was already. So I wasn't trying to like point my flashlight in its direction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Look at it intently. It freaked me out a lot. But when I shined over, I could tell obviously the white fur, and it was very tall off the ground. Like I said, probably like 8.5 feet. It was probably.
Was the face color, the skin color, human color? Was it darker? What color was this thing? Pink?
It was a little like on the dark side of pinkish, like tan. It wasn't like, you know, I hear people say a Bigfoot skin is like black or gray, but it was much lighter than that.
You said it looked like a man's face, but I think the word you used was morphed or something like that. What did you mean? Did it look more like a guy, like a person, like a man, or not?
Yeah, it had like, you know, the same kind of structure, I guess, of a man's face, but you know, it just felt like when I looked over real quick, it just kind of seemed more like it wasn't totally man. It was animal in a way. You know, it was, you could tell there was man features, but it just looked more like an animal. It made sense.
Yeah. The reason he asked is because in the time we've been doing this, we talked to a lot of people and read a lot of stuff, and there's a few different kinds of Bigfoot. One is more gorilla, one is more human. So we're just trying to
summarize,
and especially out in that area down there, east and south,
Yeah. They're
more human-like. So that's what we were trying to get a feel for what it was.
Kind of a geological thing, maybe.
Maybe.
So what did you guys do after that? Did you tell anybody what you saw? Did you tell your parents what happened?
I did tell my mom, because I was really freaked out. I was like, Mom, I think we should move. I think we should get out of here. She didn't really believe me all too well, because who usually does when you say so, when you mention things like that? But my stepdad was a little bit weird about it. He was kind of like just unassuming about the whole thing. He usually went down in the woods like every night while we were doing this. Now, obviously, I don't know if he ever saw what we saw or encountered that, but he didn't seem all too surprised when I told him. But
maybe he did.
But other than telling them, kind of just kept it in the friend group. We just kind of discussed amongst ourselves because we were the only ones there that saw everything.
I will say, personally, I did not keep it in our friend group. I'm known for being a very outspoken person about any adventures that we go on or anything like that. And I believe because of that, a lot of our friends, my family and so forth have an idea or a knowledge that I'm not going to just tell things just to talk about them or just make up stories. And I'm very honest about everything. So whenever I would tell my family and so forth, I don't believe that they were necessarily completely believing of the things that we experienced or saw, but a majority of people that I told have a knowledge that if I saw it, then there was something there. They probably didn't believe that it was something like a large albino Bigfoot or anything like that, but for the most part, I would talk to people and tell them. They usually didn't have the biggest, like, oh, there is something out there sort of reaction, but they understood that there might be something out there. If he believes that there's something out there, he saw it, there has to be something. It might not be so fantastic, but there is something.
So did you guys ever go back out in the woods or no?
No, I never went back down in there. After that night, I was too freaked out.
There was one last time that before he had moved, Will had moved, that I and our friend Chuck, for name purposes, we went out to just look. We didn't go into the woods because we didn't want to step back in there and chance anything, but we were just walking down towards the field with flashlights. And once we got to a certain point, I was scanning the trees and everything. What did you see?
You know, yeah, well, I looked down at that inlet in between the two fields of trees. And I swear that I had saw a pair of eyes kind of like poking around the corner of the inlet that was closer to the connection between the two fields. Mm-hmm. It could have just been, you know, the night playing tricks on me, whatever that could have, whatever it could have been in my imagination or something like that. But it just felt like there were a pair of eyes looking back. And, you know, obviously I wasn't going down to the woods, but after seeing that, you know, that at that moment, I freaked out. Again, I ran back to the house.
This is probably the more funny of the stories that we have, as he saw eyes, and I was looking off to the right. I couldn't see what he was looking at. Our friend Chuck also, presumably, we think he saw what Will had seen, because his reaction was also very fearful of the look of it. But as I turned around to look at them to find out what they were looking at, they had stepped backwards a step behind me, and as I went to step back as well, Chuck and I had baseball bats because we weren't going down there unprepared for something.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And Will here had nothing, and his reaction, are you okay with me saying it?
Yeah.
His reaction was to yell out, "You two have the bats, protect me." And he turned around and sprinted probably the distance of a football field faster than I have seen anyone sprint in my life. And that just caused me and Chuck to run. And by the time we got inside, he had already been inside and completely calmed down, drinking a glass of Kool-Aid whilst we catched up to him. And that was the last time that we had gone out there before Will had moved from that.
Well, you guys did have the weapon, so.
But you guys had mentioned before we started talking tonight that you had some other weird paranormal maybe things going on with you.
Yeah. I've had a couple of ghost encounters in the past that were had to be because they were really strange. I you know, there was a time when I was about 10 years old, me and my brother and about five or six of my mom's friends' kids had decided to go into this barn that was near the house that I lived in. And
let me stop you real quick. Is this the same house where you had the Bigfoot incident? This is before a different house? Okay.
Yeah.
Still in Tennessee, though? Or?
Yeah. Okay. It's still in the same area, like general area. But we had gone to this barn that was, my mom had told us that it was haunted. You know, I don't know if she was trying to scare us or keep us from going there, but we wanted to check it out because, again, we're a bunch of kids who like to explore. So we went down in there, and we were looking at this barn and just walking around. And after we had stepped through the middle of the barn, there was this sliding door, you know, that kind of just connects the two sides. And before Tyler, who was one of the older kids in the group with us, he was going to shut the door, and we were all looking. Like, all six of us were looking towards him when this door slammed on its own, shut. And there was no one else, you know, there with us. We all jumped back. Tyler, he was just kind of shocked for a sec. You know, he was just kind of, like, staring at the door. Like, that really just happened, that the door just closed on its own. So we, you know, we were frightened a little, but still curious. In a sense, so we didn't really just kind of bolt. We just took caution with us as we continued to look at this barn. And we had made it down the main stable area to the end, where a giant door was opened, and there was like a old spinning phone, like a old rotary phone, where you click the numbers. And
a lot of those kids nowadays don't know how to use those things.
Either. Yeah, they don't know what those are.
We know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, and we had went by it, and it started to rain out of nowhere, and we didn't know like if the phone was still in use because it was the first time we were there, so we didn't know if they actually used it or if it was out of use. But my brother answered the phone, and he said all he heard on the other end was heavy breathing. After he picked it up, he said he didn't hear anyone say anything. He tried to talk into it. Okay, and all it was just continuous heavy breathing. So we hung up and, kept on going. We went back through the, after looking through the stable area, nothing really stood out to us. We went back through the sliding door because we had all decided that we were brave enough to go back through. We weren't afraid. We stepped back into this room. It looked like a little office area. And there was a calendar that we had seen our first time around that was dated for 1970-something. I think it was 1973, I believe. But when we come back through, the calendar was now dated, and this was in 2012. But the calendar was dated for 2016. It changed out, and there was a tie hanging on the wall. It was like a new tie. It just hanging there. Really freaky. After that, like, we noticed all the changes. We kind of just said we had enough and left on to just go to the creek and swim. we had our fill for the day.
Yeah, that'd terrify any 10-year-old kids, I think, or scare them and creep them out. So you guys believe in Bigfoot then after this happening? You definitely think that he's real?
I'd already had a fiction for him when I was younger. I grew up watching Harry and the Hendersons and looking at all these Bigfoot sightings and reading about them. So I already kind of believed him, but after that experience, I definitely know he's out there. I know there's, if not him, something very similar.
Right.
What about you, Norman? What's your thoughts about that? You think Bigfoot's real?
I think that there's definitely something out there. I don't know necessarily if it is Bigfoot or if everything that seems to be Bigfoot is Bigfoot or if there's multiple different things out there, but I believe that with how many sightings, how much stuff has been found around the country, around the world, really, there's pretty much no way to say definitively that he doesn't exist or that some form of Sasquatch doesn't exist. So there's definitely something out there. We just have to find it first.
Right.
What would you guys say to someone who said they saw Bigfoot? What would you tell them?
I'd probably ask them their encounter, how they came across them, because I like hearing encounters like that, not violent ones,
right?
I mean, I tell them that they probably did if they believe they did.
Honestly, we hear them out, and we likely end up going to where they said that they saw one ourselves, because that's just the type of people we are. If we hear a ghost story, we hear a cryptid encounter, we will go out there ourselves and we'll see for ourselves. Even though we are somewhat dumb sometimes for doing so, we will try to go out there and look for ourselves.
Be safe about it.
I guess that makes us, me and Brian, dumb too, because we do the same thing.
yeah.
That was my next question. I was going to say, do you guys get out and scout around and squatch around and whatnot out there when you have opportunities?
As much as we can.
If we find a chance to, we'll go out and search, even if it's not necessarily a Bigfoot sighting or any sighting, really, any places. In our hometown, we have a place called the Witch's Grave, which is supposed to be a witch's grave at an old church. We've gone out there multiple times. We'll go investigate wherever we can, really. See where we can find.
Cool.
There's probably a lot of stuff going on down there in Tennessee, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. The Smokies. Yeah.
I'd say most of the, other than what we encountered and maybe a few other people, I'd say most of the cryptid-based encounters probably happen up in the Smokies and Appalachians. But definitely paranormal stuff. I feel like happens a lot across Tennessee. Could just be that it's
paranormal. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that happened in that state.
Yeah. And a lot more things than just Bigfoot, too. So keep your eyes open down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
How far are you guys away from Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and all that? Are you pretty close to that area too?
We're about 2 hours.
Okay.
From there.
Just be safe when you're out there poking around in the woods. And let us know if you see anything else.
Well, definitely, yeah. We would like to see something else. Yeah.
Hey, we hope we helped you out too, and I hope you guys feel a little bit better about talking about it and getting it out there.
Yep.
Cool. We appreciate you coming and talking to us again. Thanks for reaching out to us. Really meant a lot to talk to you guys tonight and hear your story. And
yeah, dude.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
All right. You guys take care then.
All right.
Talk to you.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Cryptid Creatures Podcast with Todd and Brian. If you've had an encounter and want to be on the show, email us at info@cryptidcreatures.co.
An albino Bigfoot. We've heard of those from time to time. Is that our first one? Is that our first? No, we've had an albino Bigfoot before.
I don't know that I'd call it albino. It could have been, but I don't know. We just talked to somebody a couple weeks ago about white Bigfoots. You know, maybe not albino, maybe just white fur.
Like I said, Tennessee's got a lot of stuff going on down there, so they'd be
getting, they do.
Run into a lot of stuff. So I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. Those huts would have been very interesting. I wonder why there were four of them.
Yeah, I'd like to have seen that. Probably a family.
Just strange, strange how they do
that. Yeah.
Anyway, keep learning more and more and more as we go along here.
Pretty cool.
All right, my friend. Let's roll out of here then.
All right, man. Always fun.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later.
See ya.